It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The only thing the candidates really agreed on were bashing President Trump. They were very divided on the issues, giving the American people quite a contrast between the two candidates in a historic debate. Let's not overlook, this is the first time we've ever seen an elbow bump instead of a handshake kick things off. Then they retreated to their positions, separated by 6 feet, as recommended by the CDC, and it was in the silence of no live audience. But once they began to square off, in the backdrop of this global pandemic, Sanders' signature issue, Medicare for All, took center stage.
It has nothing to do with Medicare for All. That would not solve the problem at all.
We need unprecedented action right now to deal with the unprecedented crisis.
People are looking for results, not a revolution.
Now, beyond coronavirus, Biden made the pragmatic alternative case to the progressive Sanders, but took several opportunities to reach out to the far left-leaning Democrats on issues like immigration and fracking in his running mate.
There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president. The first 100 days of my administration, no one will be deported at all. No more, no new fracking, no more drilling on federal lands.
Now, Biden has a healthy lead in the current delegate count, 890 to Sanders 736, but it's all eyes on tomorrow's primaries, as you mentioned, Brian. Now, there's 577 delegates up for grabs in 4 states, Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio. And right now, all 4 of those states say those contests will proceed as planned. We'll see. 2 states, Georgia and Louisiana, have announced delays.
All right, Sandy Rios with you this morning, this Monday, after whatever it was you experienced yesterday at my church. Was down probably about half, our choir probably down at least a third, and I was actually surprised and disappointed, I have to say. You know, I think of all the places that I have been and traveled, and primarily, you know, meeting with people in the underground church, the people that were had something to risk by worshiping. And I remember Chinese Christians traveling for hours just to get to a worship service, knowing that they were risking arrest and imprisonment, and yet they chose to come together and worship. It was so precious to them, they just would not miss it. I think of Russians before that, when I was in Russia before the breakup of the Soviet Union. I remember the babushkas and their scarves, and I remember the head of English language programming for the KGB, Yuri Minaev, telling me that he led raids in churches, pulling out, you know, people who were serving Christ. They targeted them. He told me this. And then he told me that he actually showed me a cross his grandmother had given him. And he said that, I said, Yuri, you're out there ordering arrests of Christians in their worship services, and you know that your grandmother is one of those people. Did it not affect you? And I will never forget this. We were sitting at a wooden table, and it was on a hard surface floor, and he pulled back his chair and made a lot of noise, and he said, it affected me very much. So his mother chose, you know, to go to these worship services. Many of those Russian Christians in those early days when the Cold War was, the Iron Curtain was still firmly clad, and the Cold War for us was going on, they paid a great price, and they worshiped anyway. They took the risk of having Bibles. They traded scripture passages, and I think the thing that struck me yesterday, I am not really speaking in the spirit of criticizing our brothers and sisters, our churches that are closing. I could. I'm just offering a challenge and a time of examination. What does this mean in our lives? This coming together and worshiping. Why do we do it? What is our motivation? What does it actually mean? What are we willing to risk? Is it just something we do because it's Sunday? It's another activity. Saturday we go to the movies? Or Friday we play golf and Sunday we go to church. Is it just one more thing on our schedule? Really, has it reduced itself in value to us to that? That's the thing I'm asking myself. You know, because sometimes I can be, I love to go to church, so it's not an effort for me. I love to be there. I just do. I can't bear to not go, to be honest with you. But there have been times when I'm on vacation, or there have been times when I've been overwhelmed and I haven't gone in my life. And I it's a self-examination too, so I'm not, again, saying what I'm saying in the spirit of trying to stir up trouble or criticize. I am laying down a challenge for all of us. Really, do we really hold our worship of the Lord Jesus so cheaply that we are concerned on the outside chance that we just might get, you know, sick with a virus? And by the way, I'm reading this from the Associated Press. Despite coronavirus panic, most patients recover within weeks. Usually it's only mild or moderate symptoms such as fever or cough, and that can be recovered from in 2 weeks. The disease can cause a variety of illness, especially troublesome for older adults and people with existing health conditions who are at risk of severe effects, including pneumonia. But for the most of those affected, coronavirus creates only mild or moderate symptoms such as fever and cough, with the vast majority recovering from the virus. That is from the Associated Press, which is not a conservative outlet. And so for fear of that, we vacated our churches. We called off worship of God. We, at least corporately, because we're afraid of personally getting sick. I just feel that this does not portend good things. Because I kind of think we're going to actually get into real persecution. You know, I can understand now why Christians' parents are not taking stand in public schools on behalf of their children. Not all of them. Some of them are. Very few, though, really. I can understand why our boycott of Target is not as successful as it should be, because it's just too hard, you see, to stop doing those things that mean so much to us. Like, you know, we have to look out for ourselves. We have become very self-concerned about our conveniences, and I'm talking about myself too. Could I just emphasize, please, I am. It's a time of reevaluation. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go hungry? Are you willing to be imprisoned? Are you willing to lose your job? I don't think so, because you weren't willing to even be worshiping on Sunday because you were afraid that you might get this virus. And many people were afraid that they would get the virus. I'm just saying. And then you could substitute other things. We could say, this has been happening for a long time. There was a tournament, or your children had soccer practice. Or the knife cuts both ways for me. I'm just saying, what really does it mean to us to worship? What really, at what price? Does it have no value to come together and be with the body of Christ and pour your heart out in prayer and worship? Maybe we're not doing that. Maybe it is just kind of rote. It's the thing that you do on Sundays. And it has fallen to such a level of value that it was no big deal. Evidently it wasn't, because churches were called off across the country. That's probably on my heart more than anything today. I got a million things to tell you, but that really, really hurt me and affected me and caused me to ponder. And when I remembered my brothers and sisters who have been in prison, I remember Jonathan, who was from China, who was a Bible smuggler, and how he, after I saw him the very first time and met him, he was in prison for an almost entire year. And the next year I went back again, and he'd been in this horrible prison camp, and he'd been beaten. And I just thought the price, I could say more about that, but I'll never forget Jonathan and the impact on he had on my life. And I thought about us not being willing to risk getting, a dry cough and be sick for a couple of weeks because we might catch something. Now, the other thing I want to mention this morning that I don't understand. Now, I know that there are serious cases. There are people dying, especially Italy is really being hit hard. And other countries, the United States is still not being hit hard. Every time I turn on the television, the death number has changed. So I think this morning I heard it was up to 70, but earlier this morning, I heard it was like 50-something. So that reminds me, I'm sorry, but this reminds me of the homeless epidemic in the 80s. Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember. There was an epidemic, you see, of homeless suddenly, only there wasn't. And the newspapers could not outdo themselves for counting numbers. And every time you opened the paper, there was like 10,000 more, and then 10,000 more, and then 10,000 more. And it turned out it was a complete hoax. Oh, there were, not that there weren't homeless people. It's just that the numbers were they were lying about the numbers because it was like vogue. Everyone was panicked about the number of homeless people increasing in this country. I remember that. Well, I also remember, rewind before that, many of you will not remember this, but I do. I remember Walter Cronkite coming on the television, the nation's trusted news anchorman, telling us about how many coat hanger abortions there were. And really, almost like weekly, maybe nightly, there were more coat hanger abortions. And I found out when I sat across the table from Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was part of the early pro-death abortion movement. He was an abortion doctor who suddenly converted to believing life was sacred and who began to tell us, and I remember he told me this particular night, this was years after 1973 when Roe versus Wade, he laid out what they had done to lay the groundwork to pass the famous case in the Supreme Court, which made abortion legal for all 9 months, that they had fabricated and fed to Walter Cronkite those false numbers of coat hanger abortions. Oh, it didn't mean that there weren't coat hanger abortions. It just meant that they exaggerated and built up those numbers until they laid the groundwork for a softening of passing this draconian law in the United States Supreme Court that made abortion legal for all 9 months. I know the pattern. So let me make the point this way. You are listening today, every network, including Fox, about how the numbers of all the people that are in this country now who have died. But what you have not seen, and I find this very curious, every time there's a tragedy or a mass murder, mass killing, we see the photos, the pictures of every single person. We hear their bio. We see their relatives talking about what a loss it was to lose that person in their life. I find it very curious that we have we? If I missed this, if I have, we'll take your call, 888-589-8840. I've seen people who have been sick telling their stories from cruise ships and other places around the country, but I have yet to see pictures of people who have died and their story and what happened and how they caught it, or their family members talking about the tragedy of the loss of that person. And there have been, up until yesterday, when the numbers keep growing, now we're 70, I think, 70-something, that's not that many people. You could, like even a national newscast, you could put those pictures up and, you know, to emphasize the personal part of the loss of life, but they're not doing that, which makes me wonder what's going on with that. They're always eager to do that. Now, maybe that's just a fluke. You think maybe it's just a fluke? I don't know. And I am not saying no one's died. I'm just saying, where are the pictures of people who have died and their stories and their family members? And again, if you have seen that, then you can call in and correct me because I don't watch everything all the time. I could have missed it. 888-589-8840 is the number. By the way, today there is a false information going out. It's spreading through texts and other places that there's going to be a national quarantine. That's fake news. It's not true. The White House has put out, as of last night in the early morning hours, a warning you that is just not true. Someone is, you know, doing some mischief with us and potentially with our stock market. But it's not true that there's going to be a national quarantine. So I'll come back with more information in a minute, I promise. And there is other news. There are primaries tomorrow, which are very important in Florida, Illinois, Arizona, and Ohio. And so I'm hoping that you are paying attention. I'm going to give you a few things about those primaries that I happen to know. But you have responsibility, again, to check in your own state to see what's happening. All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Norman Sharpless, director of the National Cancer Institute. His office conducts research, training, and other activities related to the causes, prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of cancer. James 5:15 reminds us of the health and healing we seek from God. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Norman Sharpless in his work at the NCI. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio declared a state of emergency and the entire city went into panic mode. Grocery store shelves across New York City were laid bare in just a matter of hours. At one point, the mayor had to issue a statement refuting rumors the island of Manhattan was being quarantined. The problem is mixed messages from City Hall. Why declare a state of emergency when barely 100 people have the virus? And if it's really as bad as the mayor says, why are they not shutting down public schools? Last night, I ventured out to my local supermarket. Folks, it was insane. A clerk told me at one point customers were taking food from other people's baskets. Just about every shelf had been wiped out. The canned food aisle and the produce section, the hardest hit. The only thing left, a few cans of cream of celery soup and hummus. Apparently, there are some things you can do without in a global pandemic. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Madonna è mobile, quale piuma il vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero, sempre amabile, leggiadro viso, in pianto e riso e menzognero.
Lucio Mancini in Florence, Italy, because Florence is Italy are quarantining everyone, so they have to stay home. They can't go out on the streets. They have had more deaths than any European country. And so that he is an opera singer. And so he went out on his balcony and treated his neighbors to 2 days, actually, of performances. But my favorite is in an Italian neighborhood. Someone sent this to me. Maybe you've seen this online yourselves. I have some friends that spend a lot of time in Italy, and they sent this to me. But this is a tape or the audio of a little video of neighbors who are, you know, they live in apartments, these high-rise apartments, and I'm not sure what city this is in Italy, but they leaned out their windows and started singing with each other. I want you to hear it. Clip six. I love that. That is my favorite. You may have seen others. I love the spirit. You know, they're leaning out their windows, singing with each other. And isn't it, you know, I tell you, the thing that really strikes me about that is they still have a common culture. So they know these songs. That's something that we have, you know, systematically taken away. We all listen to different songs, and it's just sweet. They're you know, comforting each other in a very difficult time. It's hard to be isolated at home. But now here's another one. I lived in Germany, as you probably, some of you know, I lived in Berlin a number of years ago. And so they're a different breed of people. So some German man decided he would try this as well. And this is how it went down. Clip four.
Hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Fresse! Dann sing ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont. Denkst du, fickt euch doch alle!
They're saying to him, quiet, be quiet. So it didn't go over so well in Germany, which is, you know, typical gruff Germans from Deutschland. Yeah, so I just thought that you would enjoy those little clips. All right, so I was talking about the fact that I have not seen any pictures of actually deceased people from the virus, and I find that odd. That we're not seeing their names, their ages, what their circumstances were, or talking, featuring family members. Sick people, yes. I've seen lots of sick people talking about their experience. In fact, we have a clip of one man who was the sickest I have seen, really. The others, what they described, they sort of said it wasn't that bad. I think this guy was, he looked really, truly sick to me. And he talks about how badly he felt. This is on CNN. But I wanted you to hear just part of this, because he does make an interesting point. This is clip one. This is Clay Bentley.
When you got the word of God stand on, there ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper. I had a lot of people contact me, let me know that they're praying. You just don't know what that means.
Clay, we're just so glad that you turned the corner. Can you tell us how you're doing this morning?
Well, I think I've turned the corner. I think I'm improving, getting better. It's been a long road. I got a son that's 36 years old. He works in law enforcement. You know, the community that he works in, they called him and said, you know, we have heard through the grapevine that your dad has got coronavirus, so we're going to send you home, so don't come back to work for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, and I hadn't even been around. And then yesterday, I got a 4-year-old grandson, his son. They've canceled his school because, you know, they found out that I got coronavirus and I hadn't even been around my grandchild, you know. And so I feel like everybody's running in mass hysteria,
yeah,
trying to take care of things instead of finding the people who need to be tested and let's take care of the problem.
Yeah, interesting. That was Clay Bentley. All right, so I put a challenge out there, and I said if any of you have seen someone, you know, some newscast talk about someone who's died and shown their picture and telling us the details of it, I wanted to hear about that. I don't actually see anybody on the screen. The phone lines are loaded, and I am going to go to the phones and talk to you. I don't see anyone with that story. Adam, if I'm missing that, let me know, and I'll go to that person. But I would be curious. I mean, don't you think it's curious that we are not seeing their names and their pictures? Every mass shooting, they do that. Every mass death, they focus on whoever died. Would you not think that they'd be telling us who it is that has died here. I just find that odd. All right, so our phone number is 888-589-8840, and we will talk about this because I see that you have a lot on your minds, and I can understand that. Let's go to Rebecca in Arkansas. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind, Rebecca?
I've diverged from you for the very first time on this basis.
Rebecca, I'm having trouble hearing you. Rebecca, can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello. Sorry.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
I have been listening, I guess, for a year and a half. I've always agreed with you, but on the issue of self-quarantine, I would make that decision. I have made that decision for my husband, who is not a believer. I am. I attended church yesterday, but I would self-quarantine for him.
Well, who said anything about self-quarantining?
In Arkansas, we've been asked to do that. My husband is 76 years old and has been treated for lymphoma for 15 years and has a very compromised immune system.
Well, I don't think I said anything that would discourage you from doing that.
Okay. You didn't.
Okay, good.
I didn't hear you address that kind of issue.
No. Well, because I can't, you know, I have talked about the fact that, of course, the elderly and infirm and people who are on cancer treatments and people like that, people in nursing homes are vulnerable. Those are the ones that have been dying. Most of those cases that we have, I think at least half of them, well, maybe not now that it's 70, are from Washington State in a nursing home. So, no, I think you're doing the right thing to protect your husband.
Well, because we don't know.
I'm
sorry, I just didn't hear you say it this morning.
No, I didn't. Rebecca, I can't, you know, this is...
Yes.
I have probably 100, maybe, or more sheets of paper of various things about this virus this morning. So yeah. I will not say a lot of things. But I was talking about worship, and I was talking about the value of it. That's interesting that you went to church yesterday, given what you just said to me.
But the restriction wasn't made prior to me attending service, and because I very much trust my pastor who asked us if we're not ill to attend, and I would do that.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated. There's no simple solution.
Yes.
But I guess I just feel I think it is a time of examining. I just think it's a time of self-examination, and that's what I was challenging earlier. So, Rebecca, listen, you do take care of yourself and take care of your husband because he is vulnerable, according to the stats.
And thank you.
He's very vulnerable.
I want to tell you thank you very much. I do appreciate you. I didn't want to be in an argument. At all.
Well,
I just wanted to.
I'm not
that.
Planning.
So thank you, Sandy.
Oh no, you're very welcome, Rebecca. I think she may have misunderstood something I said. I don't exactly know how we got on a bad roll because it is true that if I just said this, so I will repeat it. I'm not the news, you know. So I am telling you my opinions about things as they come to my mind. I don't every morning can't repeat. It's not like when you watch the news and every anchor knows they have to repeat everything every morning. I'm a commentator, so I will talk to you about like singing in Italy and Germany, which is not what they'll probably get into. But so I can't say everything in every moment. But I will repeat that if you know that there's some danger in your area, some evidence of the coronavirus, and you are an elderly person who's not in good health, or you've got people in the nursing home or whatever, then you do have to be very careful because we do not take lightly death for any reason. I just think that the situation is being exaggerated, and that's what bothers me. All right, let's go to Joan in Texas. Good morning, Joan.
Oh, good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Tell you how much I appreciate your voice in so many instances and circumstances, but particularly here. I've been a registered nurse for, probably 40 years. I've never seen anything like this, but I have seen bad things. Flu. My goodness, the children come in with all kind of teachers work with the flu because there's no one to take their place. What I told you, screener, is my sister was in the hospital, first of all, with a diagnosis of pneumonia. She had a chest x-ray to prove it. Friends don't want us around anymore. Fortunately, her church is very supportive. However, I have a friend that's daughter flew to Nigeria probably a week or so ago. My friend told her daughter, expect to be quarantined, expect to be tested at the airport. She flew into London and then came into Texas. She had no problem at all. She called her mom. She said, I'm with my Uber driver. I am on my way home. Nobody said a word about it.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. And then I had a friend that's my pastor, and his family went on a cruise 7 or 8 days ago, came back this weekend. They were told they were the last ship that would be docked because of all that's going on. Now, this was just for Saturday. They were not tested. They were not delayed.
Yeah. Well, Joan, I find that most of the news about this virus is about closings and new rules. It's about the bill passed in the House, which I'll get to in a second, I hope. It's all about the activities around it, but really not about dead and dying people. I don't see them breaking away to hospitals where whole staffs are making statements, where they're exhausted, where the hospitals are crammed with patients or emergency rooms. We don't see that. The whole story is about the, you know, buying out of the stores. It's all the things, the secondary things, but there isn't much there yet. That's my point. Not that there might not be. I mean, there might be. Maybe there still will be. Maybe I'll be completely wrong about this, and it'll be a disaster, and we're just waiting for the disaster to fall. But I sort of don't think so. Anyway, Joan, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Let's go to Tony in California. Tony?
Hi. Yes, Sandy. I went to my doctor this week, just Wednesday, and she told me that I am to self-isolate. I hadn't realized it, but some medicine I take is compromising my immune system. Mm. And I have just been real appreciative of the efforts everyone is making in this country to try to stem the spread of this virus. It's not, you know, at my work, we're all streaming, teleworking. Uh-huh. And I was able to go to my church through streaming online. And I haven't heard of churches that have been actually not having a service, but that have been using alternate methods of streaming and letting people go attend church that way. And it just, to me, what I have a different perspective on it. I totally get the thing about, you know, where we don't always believe the news that we're hearing. But in this case, I see our country coming together to try and not have it be the situation it is in Italy and China and Iran, and that they are taking steps to protect those of us who are vulnerable. And I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy for a positive view of it, Tony. I'm happy for a positive view. I certainly wouldn't want someone like you who is more vulnerable. You're probably more vulnerable to any infection then. And so that's a different thing than most normal, healthy people. And so thank you, Tony, for calling. I appreciate it. I think the other thing that creeps me out is the whole idea of social distancing. And let me tell you why. Because I know this gets deep, and so stay with me. But I know that I always say the left, let's just say that the very dark left, the totalitarian left, the kinds that want to take power, use social distancing. They want to cut you off from family. The Russians, of course, remove kids from their parents and raise them by the state. And women went to work just like men do, which was odd at the time. Now we do that here, too. But it was a breakup of families. Any kind of a sporting event or any kind of unity, history of a country, the way you dress, anything that gave you some identity, some self, some connection to other people. There was a concerted effort to destroy all of that because the state wanted to have control and be preeminent in your life. This is one of the things that's creeping me out about the social distancing. This is what the left does. And they're being very successful. We are just distancing, you know, voluntarily, and it concerns me. Sandy Rios in the morning.
For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an article in China's state-run media that's a mouthpiece for the Communist Party there, Beijing bragged about their handling of the Wuhan coronavirus, while claiming China could impose pharmaceutical export controls, which would plunge America into, quote, the mighty sea of coronavirus, end quote. China manufactures a significant percentage of our meds, including over 95% of our antibiotics. The last American manufacturing plant to make a key component of penicillin shuttered in 2004. We must return immediately to making things here at home again, especially our critical medicine. Economic and manufacturing independence is national security.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
Ever since he walked this earth, people have wondered who Jesus really was. Could he really have been the Son of God? Or was he just a raving lunatic? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains why we can be confident that Jesus really is the Messiah. Join us for a powerful study in the Gospel of Luke all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Scripture makes clear that government is God's idea, not man's, and that He has given to government authority to punish criminal behavior. What happens when government does not do its job? In Ecclesiastes 8:11, we are told, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. When the law is not enforced, evil is allowed to run free and grow in strength. Regressives are rolling back restraints against evil, and the results are entirely predictable. A bank robber in New York was arrested for holding up four banks, but because of brainless bail reform laws, he was immediately set free. What did he do? Next day, he robbed another bank. He said, "I can't believe they let me out. What were they thinking?" My question, exactly.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Socialism is a bigger threat than the coronavirus, and the Wuhan flu has the potential greatly to accelerate the globalists' efforts to spread their socialist political agenda at the expense of both public health and national sovereignty. Remember, they believe a crisis should never go to waste. Video is circulating on the internet from an exercise dubbed Event 201, conducted in October 2019. Its sponsors and participants included such globalist powerhouses as the Bloomberg-backed Johns Hopkins University, the Davos World Economic Forum, the Gates, Rockefeller, and UN foundations, the World Bank, the CIA, and the U.S. and Chinese Centers for Disease Control. They talk on tape about exploiting a pandemic to fund and build global governance. We must not allow the present crisis to undermine our national sovereignty and promote socialism. Unfortunately, the globalists clearly disagree. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios, back with you. We are going to go back to the phone line since you have so much to say, and I understand that. I do want to tell you, last night in the debate, Joe Biden didn't stumble, I didn't think, like I've seen him stumble before. That doesn't mean he didn't stumble at all. He had actually a teleconference, like town hall, on Friday and made so many mistakes. And last night, during the debate, he kept coughing. He had that, like, during the first round of it, for sure. He coughed and coughed, which made people speculate about coronavirus and these older men perhaps being in danger of. The president, by the way, was tested for coronavirus, and he does not have it. I want to remind you that there is an election tomorrow, and the primary is in Florida, Illinois, Arizona, and Ohio. That's Florida, Illinois, Arizona, and Ohio. I also want to tell you that there are some Freedom Caucus, of course, is nonpartisan. It happens to be all Republicans, but it's not that they want to be all Republicans. It's just that they are very, very conservative, and they are supporting two candidates in Illinois, and they are Jeannie Ives and Mary Miller. Jeannie is in the northern, she's in where I used to live, actually, the 6th District of Illinois, which is around Wheaton and Glen Ellen. Jeannie is she ran for governor and almost won against Rauner with very little money and bold as you could be, bold as you could imagine, even on all the moral issues. She's quite a lady, I'll have to tell you. Mary Miller is running in Illinois 15, and she also is a strong candidate for the House Freedom Caucus. That's why they are supporting her. And I want to also tell you that over the weekend, the House voted for a coronavirus relief bill, a vote of 363 to 40. A lot of people are concerned about this bill. The Senate is going to be taking it under consideration today. It was pushed through. They said they had to push it through, and yet they didn't have the language on the bill. Does that sound familiar? And so, of course, they are trying to spend money to try to stop this. It's relief for all kinds of people. I'm sure some of it is good. That's what I noticed last night in the debate. Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden could not outdo each other in terms of what they wanted to give people and pay them off and stop everything. Everything free all the time. And that's what I see with the Congress is trying to do the same thing, to buy and to pad everyone so that there's just no pain in all this panic over the coronavirus. I'm not saying there shouldn't be any help. It's just that, for instance, Nancy Pelosi tried to get abortion funding in the bill, and President Trump and the conservatives in Congress stopped that, so that's a good thing. We will talk more about that bill as we know more about that. Last night, well, there's a story that the Bernie brothers, Bernie bros they call them, those are the rabid Bernie Sanders supporters who do a lot of damage. Maybe not all of them do, but a lot of them are part of Antifa. And they're warning of a mass exodus if Democrats nominate Joe Biden. So that's probably great concern. Also, Ron Johnson announced that he is going to directly subpoena a consulting firm linked to Hunter Biden and Burisma Holdings. He said that in a letter on Thursday. So that's the interesting stir-up on the Joe Biden part of this. And then back to the election in Ohio tomorrow, I just noticed this story. A top official in Ohio claimed that more than 100,000 coronavirus cases were in Ohio. And now she's admitting that she was just guesstimating. Her name is Health Director Amy Acton. She claimed there could possibly be more than 100,000 active coronavirus cases in the Buckeye State. But then she had to back up and say she was just guesstimating. And so this is what we're up against, and that's what we have to be careful, not to panic and not to overreact. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let me go. Let's see. Let's go to Missouri and talk to John. Good morning, John.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, so hello. I'm good. What's on your mind, John?
Hey, I'm from Missouri. Friday, the governor issued a state of emergency. They are closing schools Wednesday. And as far as I know, we only have two cases of the coronavirus. And I agree with you. Something just isn't right here. And we need to tell people, quit going to the grocery store and wiping them out. They're going to restock.
Yeah, especially toilet paper. Yes, I do know. I do. It's just... People's response is bothering me more than the virus itself. And I do find all of the news is about, it's all about the things surrounding it. It's not about actually healthcare workers, you know, desperately working long hours, clinics being overwhelmed, hospital beds running short. They talk about what if that happens. They speculate. They talk about closings and all these sporting events. And they talk about airport shutting and airlines cutting back flights, but they don't really talk about sick people. And that just is odd to me. So, John, I thought, don't you have I've lost track. You had a very conservative governor who had to resign. So I don't even know who's governing your state now? Do you have good governing, you think?
He's been pretty good. Yeah, that's why it surprises me that we've gone to this extreme. I don't know. It's just, I don't understand it.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, people have to think about this. How many people do you personally know? Everybody needs to think, how many people do I personally know have the coronavirus? How many people do I know personally that have had flu? That kind of throws the scale off there. I know a lot of people that had the flu. My daughter had the flu. But as for the coronavirus, nobody. And I keep hearing stories. But my daughter keeps coming home and saying, one kid said that she was at this dance that somebody had the coronavirus. And then I was at the doctor's office the other day, and the same story came up and from a different guy, and his buddy was there at the same dance. But the dance that happened was about 40 miles away from where we live.
So it's just craziness. Well, I think, John, in regard to politicians, they feel obliged to step up to the plate, and they have to keep up. It's like peer pressure. It's also public perception, because you almost cannot dare, as a politician, say what I'm saying publicly. You can't say, wait a second, this is a little bit. The president tried to do that initially, tried to say, wait a second, this is not as bad as they're, and he was destroyed, because you can't, the voice of the mainstream media, Hollywood and the rest of them, is so loud, Twitter, you fill in the blanks, that you will self-destruct as a politician if you don't jump in and do your part to allegedly make people safe. And that's why politicians are doing what they're doing. Even the president, I think, is doing, he's trying to stay ahead of the curve. And by that, I mean, I think he's trying to stay ahead of the destruction the Democrats will make of this if he doesn't do all the things he's doing. So it's political considerations. But that, of course, is different from the church considerations and pastor considerations, which is what I started out talking about this morning. John, thanks for calling. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Tim in Texas. What about those Italians singing?
Yes, ma'am.
What about the Italians singing?
You made the comparison between Italian opera and a 1980s pop song. Neun Neunzig Luftballons, I don't believe, is a German cultural song, and he was singing it off tune, and I would probably boo him also.
Okay, all right. Are you German, Tim?
No, ma'am, I am not. We were in Germany together when that song came out.
Okay, all right. Well, so you think you agree with the Germans who were saying "be quiet, hush"? I thought he did a pretty good job, Tim. Anyway, it did.
What? What? I would have chosen so many other songs.
Oh, all right. Well, then, all right. We'll have to send the message to those Germans to choose the right songs in the future. Tim, thanks a lot. Let's go to Ann in Texas. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. From Texas?
Yes, Ann from Texas. What's on your mind?
So I commented on your Facebook page, and I said, get the real news. And somebody said, how do you know it's real news? And I said, well, because it's most aligned with God's word. But you bring in so many different speakers, and you always tell what their title is, as opposed to the liberals that just like have the same people in their talking points. So appreciate what you do, and really admire you. I wanted
to
make a comment about the churches. And I totally understand your point of view, because I think you've seen so much and you know so much, and that's your job. A lot of us don't know, and you share that with us, and I appreciate that so much. I was really impressed with what our pastor did, and that's because, like, it's a huge church, and so many on the bottom are, like, elderly, and everybody in the balcony is young. So I think I really believe that he prayed about what to do, and I appreciate that. So he came up with, like, we'll have extra services, and he limited the entry to 250 people. And he said, we have to honor God, but we also have to honor the authorities, which is biblical. And so I thought that was a good way to do it. And he streamed the service. And he said, if I have to do 100, I will. And I believe him. So I really appreciate that. But he did emphasize some things. He said, this is different than, like, say, 9/11. Everything's shut down. And just talked about, like, our country needs revival. And so that was good. And he talked about prayerlessness and be humble. And so I just think he handled it really well. He said, I don't know what we're going to do next week, but we're just going to trust in God. So I really appreciated that emphasis. And so just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Anne. Those are good words. I appreciate that. And I have to say, you know, when it comes to something like this, I have to rely. I do not want to mislead anyone listening to me. I have to rely on the knowledge that I have. And I don't want to believe things that aren't true. I went up against this when the Y2K scare came in 2000. I was on the air in Chicago, and I just I did not believe it. I just didn't believe it. I felt it was exaggerated, much like this is, and so I just hung in there. And I turned out to be right. I could have been wrong though. I do not claim that I am intellectually superior to anyone. I do claim this though. I do claim that I do ask God for wisdom. I do. And I don't want to bring anything to you or say anything that is when I ask for his wisdom, he gives it. But that doesn't mean I'm right about this. I could be wrong. The only time will tell if it really was God's wisdom with me telling you that I think this is something's not right here. Something is not right when you have an official in Ohio exaggerating the numbers there. And when you have a situation where we're not seeing the pictures of people who have died and their stories and their family stories, why not? That's the thing that the left loves. Why not? Why are we not seeing that? Anyway, I am pledged to telling you the truth as I believe God has given me the ability to see the truth and to feature people that do tell the truth. Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Good morning, Monty.
Sandy, no, you're wonderful in the whole AFR radio station, but I am proactive. I'm 72, 8 kids. Everybody's home doing the things that you normally wouldn't be doing because you got time on your hands. But, you know, I've studied science like everybody else, but God gave everybody exactly the same amount of faith. And being a phys ed teacher and an exercise, if you do not exercise your faith, you're not obedient and faithful to God. There is no way a small virus has anything to do with the huge vastness of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can instantaneously call on God and he can wipe out anything. But you know, Sandy, everything is related. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Everything is related to water. When water was pure and clean, Otto Warburg, if you ever heard of him, in 1929, put cancer cells in pure oxygen and they disappeared. He was given the Pulitzer Prize in physiology, and you're thinking, why do we know the God that spoke everything into movement wants us to shut down, get frightened, you know, fear, false expectations appearing real? Fear is a state of the mind. But when, you know, you exercise your faith and you search for truth, there is no way, just like Wayne Dyer said, he wrote a book, Believing is Seeing. Wow, do we not look at it the other way, Sadie? People are trying to see something, a virus that's so small, and every cell, when they studied under a microscope now, has a trillion things going on in one cell.
Yep.
What
Monty,
is wrong?
Well, it is a lack of... Look, I believe in medicines and doctors and taking precautions, so I want to make sure I make that clear. I do not believe in a disproportionate response to something like this, which is what I think that we are seeing. It requires more thought and more prayer and really asking God. And heaven knows, I see that we need revival because I don't see us on our knees really worried about this. I see us just, you know, not getting together to protect ourselves. Thanks, Monty. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.